The Old Testament reading for the 24th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Zephaniah, chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons, and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold, and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on confession. What is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent.
Where is this written?
This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
What do you believe according to these words?
I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation, and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying, there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time we sing together our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We certainly are blessed to live here in central Illinois, don't you think? We're not really close enough to any major rivers and so far that we would endure any kind of flooding of any type. We're far enough from the coasts of our country that we don't have to deal with hurricanes or tsunamis or any issue like that. As far as I know, there aren't really any major fault lines under our feet, and so every earthquake we hear about seems to bring destruction in a different part of the world. What's better? But in a rural community, we have mostly escaped from the political unrest that has plagued our country for this entire year. As far as the coronavirus, I mean, we really haven't seen an increase in cases as much as those places that are very densely populated. Other than the potential for a tornado, which comes through few and far between, we really aren't in any inherent danger here. Not to mention, in our country, we have an abundance of food and goods and medicine and things like that. God truly has blessed us, especially here in central Illinois. And yet, blessing is certainly not what we hear about in Zephaniah this morning. In fact, it sounds exactly the opposite. Zephaniah shared these words. He says, "The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements." Zephaniah was called to preach to the people of Judah, and he had to preach these words of wrath because the people in Judah were doing especially one thing wrong. They would go to the temple and they would worship the one true God there, but in addition to that, they had also set up these high places where they would worship all of the false gods of the nations around them. Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God that we worship now as we know him as God the Father, he was just another checkbox in the whole pantheon of gods that they had to worship. And so his message then is repent. I mean, this is what God had always told his people when they started to do this and seek after false. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Don't do that anymore and return, you know, to the one true God, to himself. But the people refused to do that. The people didn't care to do that. And so this message of future punishment, this crying, crashing, end of commerce, plundering, mighty being brought low, wrath poured out, people in distress, anguish, ruin, darkness, gloom. This is the worst kind of prophecy. But nonetheless, it came true. Jerusalem experienced this very thing in the year 587 BC. The Babylonians came to Jerusalem, they laid siege, and they captured it. It sounds awful. And honestly, I'm sure you would feel the very same way, is that I'm glad I wasn't in Jerusalem in 587 BC. In fact, if I could choose between being in Jerusalem in 587, or if I could be in central Illinois in the year 2020, I would choose central Illinois every time. But unfortunately, this is when we get the rug pulled out from under us. Because you may have noticed that the words in Zephaniah today, they begin in verse 7 and they end in verse 16. What else does Zephaniah say in those verses that are not included? Well, verses 3 and 4 shares this. "I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord." You know, the prophecies we read today, they were fulfilled in 587 BC. The prophecies that come in verse 3 and 4, they have not been fulfilled. God has not wiped everything from the face of the earth. He has not destroyed beasts and birds and the fish in the sea and all mankind. And even worse, in verse 17 and 18, he says, "I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed, for a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Man, that's a lot of destruction. Holy cow, that's a lot of bad words, right? This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, thanks be to God. Part of Zephaniah's prophecy is still yet to come true. And even for us here in central Illinois. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon us. See, Jesus will come as the master of this world, and he will ask you to give an account of your lives. Everything you've said, everything you've thought, everything you've done. He'll ask you what you've done with your resources and your talents and your abilities. Because as we understand, everything is from the Lord, and so everything you are has come from him. And he'll want to know, have you acted like the people in Zephaniah's day? Have you used your resources and talents and abilities to worship the false gods of this world? Have you clothed yourselves in the wealth and the stature and the prosperity of the world? You've been given 5 talents, or maybe 2, or maybe 1. What have you done with them? Have we invested them that way God himself will benefit? Or have we invested them for ourselves? I'm glad I wasn't in Jerusalem when God's prophecy came true. But honestly, I'm not sure I want to be anywhere in the world when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes and I have to stand before his judgment seat and all of my sins are laid out before him and he can see all of the wonderful things he has given me in this life, and then he'll see all of the ways that I have squandered it. When we read through the gospel reading, how many of you guys really thought you were the one with 5 talents? Or the one with 2. Because in that reading, I feel more like the guy who's been given 1. The prospect of God's wrath terrifies us. And it should. It's good to have a healthy fear of God. Because if you don't fear God's wrath, you'll never understand God's mercy. If you don't fear God's wrath, you'll never truly understand the gospel. See, there's one part of our text that has a double meaning. Zephaniah said that the Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. I mean, in the immediate context, the sacrifice is actually his people who he is going to give over to the Babylonians. But if we look through the context immediately and we look beyond it to a greater sacrifice, we see the great love that God has for us in Jesus. He was the sacrifice that was prepared. We know that Jesus' sacrifice is a once-for-all sacrifice. It's the sacrifice to end all sacrifice. It's a sacrifice in which God pours out the entirety of his wrath. Because you see, all of God's people deserve condemnation. You see, God knows that he has given you however many talents you have. And he knows that you fail with them. He expects that of you. And even the guy who gives 5, he's so proud to bring 5 more, right? But what if he had done even better? Could he have made 10 talents off that 5? Could he have made 15 talents off that 5? Could he have made 20 talents off that 5? Stop beating yourself down under God's wrath. We need to know it's a reality, but we also know that the sacrifice has been paid. God gave you 5 talents. Sure, you could have made 10, but he knew you'd only make 5. That's why he gave you 5 to begin with. Enter into the joy of your master. God overlooks all of those times that we are selfish because we repent of them. Because we don't want to be the people from Zephaniah who fail to listen to God's word, but we want to be those who follow it. My friends, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter how you've used your talents in this life. If you feel remorse and if you are afraid of God's wrath, it means you are the people in the world who don't need to be. Because Jesus has paid for that wrath in your place. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would he do that? Certainly, he sees all of our shortcomings. Certainly, he sees all of our failures. But it's because he loves you even in spite of them. He calls you a good and faithful servant even though you fail, and even though you're not perfect. And he doesn't want you to be wiped out. He doesn't want you to have to endure punishment and crying and crashing and the end of commerce and plundering and the mighty being brought low and distress and gloom and darkness and ruin and devastation and anguish. He doesn't want any of that for you. That's why he sends Jesus. Because Jesus takes all of that in your place. He dies with your sin and he dies with my sin. And so there is no wrath of God left over for you. Yes, Jesus is prepared as the sacrifice. He is set apart. That way you can become God's guests. So when the day of the Lord comes, when destruction comes for the whole of the unbelieving world, it won't come for you. Instead, you will enter the joy of your master. You will receive his mercy. And instead of being embarrassed and ashamed when all of your sins are laid bare, you'll rejoice that you have a hope in Jesus Christ. My friends, we are certainly blessed to live in relative safety here in central Illinois. But more than that, we are far more blessed to live in the entire safety that is Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.